That speaker on your radio or your phone, it's a drum bouncing the sound waves through the air to your eardrum and your body too, and your heart all keeping the beat. Let the drums roll on. Let the rhythm take you down to the fundamentals, into the universal. Power of the drum at the heartbeat of this hour. Anishinaabe and Garifuna, Sufi drums in Morocco, Taiko drums in Japan, drums and drummers for spirit and courage. Taiko drumming from the Heartbeat Drummers of Japan. I'm Michael Goldberg with Stay Human. On today's show, we're going to put out some healing rhythms and some healing drums. We'll have a visit with Andy Jackson, the Ojibwe language and drum teacher at the Deer River High School Indian Education Department. He gives us a tour of their drums. And we'll hear from Robin Anders, who lives up by the Boundary Waters and plays drums all over the world, including the taiko drums we opened with. He spent years living in the Yucatan, too, and he'll tell us about drumming over the jungle canopy.
So we got to spend the whole night up on that pyramid, and it wasn't until later that I found out the history of the place, and a very special little trance drumming session with her dancing on top of the pyramid and the full moon, and it was like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Bahia drummers of Belize. They're Garifuna drummers. Garifuna people live mostly in Belize and Guatemala. They're descended from native Caribbean people and escaped Africans. The drum is central to their lives. And I had a chance not long ago to visit with a drum teacher in Belize, a young man who'd been drumming since he was about 6 years old and now taught at the big drumming school community center in the middle of town. He drums with his elders as well as with boys as young as 6 or 7, bringing them into the drum, he said. I was only there a few days, but I didn't see any girls or women drumming, and that reminded me of this poem, Drum Dream Girl. The poem was inspired by the childhood of a great Cuban drummer, Mio Castro Zaldarriaga. In 1932, at the age of 10, little Mio broke the traditional Cuban taboo against female drummers by joining her sisters in an all-girl band. She went on to become a world-famous musician. This poem was written by a 21st-century American poet, Margarita Engel, whose mother was Cuban. Her poem, Drum Dream Girl. On an island of music, in a city of drum beats, the drum dream girl dreamed of pounding tall conga drums, tapping small bongo drums, and boom, boom, booming with long, loud sticks on big, round, silvery, moon-bright timbales. But everyone on the island of music, in the city of drum beats, believed that only boys should play drums. So the drum dream girl had to keep dreaming quiet, secret, drumbeat dreams. At outdoor cafes that looked like gardens, she heard drums played by men, but when she closed her eyes, she could also hear her own imaginary music. When she walked under wind-wavy palm trees in a flower-bright park, she heard the whirr of parrot wings, the clack of woodpecker beaks, the dancing tap of her own footsteps, and the comforting pat of her own heartbeat. At carnivals, she listened to the rattling beat of towering dancers on stilts and the dragon clang of costumed drummers wearing huge masks. At home, her fingertips rolled out their own dreamy drum rhythm on tables and chairs. And even though everyone kept reminding her that girls on the island of music have never played drums, the brave drum dream girl dared to play tall conga drums, small bongo drums, and big round silvery moon-bright timbales. Her hands seemed to fly as they rippled, rapped, and pounded all the rhythms of her drum dreams. Her big sisters were so excited that they invited her to join their new all-girl dance band, but their father said only boys should play drums. So the drum dream girl had to keep dreaming and drumming alone, until finally her father offered to find a music teacher who could decide if her drums deserved to be heard. The drum dream girl's teacher was amazed. The girl knew so much, but he taught her more and more and more, and she practiced and she practiced and she practiced, until the teacher agreed that she was ready to play her small bongo drums outdoors at a starlit cafe that looked like a garden, where everyone who heard her dream-bright music sang and danced and decided that girls should always be allowed to play drums, and both girls and boys should feel free to dream. Margarita Engel, Drum Dream Girl. If you're not driving, that you are drumming along with this. It is a little tricky. It's in a 9/8 time signature, but keep up. you've got a heartbeat, you've got a drum. Doesn't have to be some beautiful drum to keep you on the beat. One of my favorite drums, honestly, is a kid's playground. All that metal, all those different things to bang on while the kids are running around. Everybody can make a drum wherever they are. I had a visit recently from my old friend Deb Fredrickson, who came north with her big, gentle dog, Levi, some 90 pounds of love. He's her friend and her drum in their nightly ritual.
Every night we lay down, I put Levi between my legs and we drum. It's very relaxing. And I'll just do a few riffs for you. Oh, he's really getting into it. He likes to lift his front paw up when he's really into it. Now I'm going to play something for you, Michael, and hopefully your audience can guess correctly what the tune is. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Mona, oh, Mona, tell you, Mona, what I'm gonna do. Gonna make sweet love to you. I say, hey, 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 Mona, hey, hey, Mona.
Oh, I know what that is. That's the sister's
music. Wipe out!
Thanks to Deb Fredrickson and Levi. More drums and drummers still to come. Coming up in this hour, Ojibwe drummer, singer, and teacher Andy Jackson. And we'll also travel around the world with the amazing Robin Anders. You're listening to Stay Human on your Northern Community Radio service, KAXE KBXE. Our program receives support from the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund, and it's only possible because of the support of our listener members, everybody in it together. Right now, with everything shut down and nobody knowing what happens next, we're getting focused on some fundamentals. I'm sure I'm not the only one who's been counting my blessings, safe so far, and reaching out, finding ways to provide mutual support and to connect. Thanks for listening to this local independent radio service. Please stay tuned. We continue now our drum fest with one of the coolest guys I've ever met, Jay Epstein, widely admired in the jazz world as a drummer of extraordinary invention and grace. I asked him to tell me about the drum.
Whether it's Gene Krupa, or whether it's Buddy Rich, or whether it's Ringo Starr, these guys all keep a beat. And that's where it all begins, is that kind of adherence to metronomic time. Once you have that, then you can play around with the time a little bit. And that's where much more creativity and artistry comes in, where you can kind of express yourself. There's a thousand different ways to get from point A to point B. I'm conscious sort of the waves of time. That matter of relativity is all part of the human condition, you know? So I dig that. What's the most basic pulse that emanates from a human being?
Heartbeat.
Heartbeat. Precisely, Michael. Yes, yes, yes. And how? What's your heartbeat sound like? Sort of sounds like a boom, a boom, a boom, a boom, a boom. Right? Essentially. So what we're talking about here is 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. Dig. And I mean that's just the most obvious, but there are millions of other large and small examples of that cycle of three subatomic particles and supernovas. On the other hand, I dig that so much of our life is based on those increments in time that relate to three places of everything. And I know this sounds kind of woo-woo and a little utterly cosmic, but it works for me.
Well, if it works for you, Jay, it works for me. That was Jay Epstein. He can be heard in performance in the hippest venues in the Twin Cities and on occasion in northern Minnesota with Sam Miltich and friends. He's one of those friends. Here's one of his drum heroes, Elvin Jones. Elvin Jones featured on that version of Charlie Parker's Anthropology. Anthropology on Stay Human, The Drum Show.
So that style beat's a Cree style beat that they use in their round dances.
That's Andy Jackson. He's the Ojibwe language and drum teacher at Deer River High School. I asked him if he learns much from his students.
And I'm just learning this style, like Gin and some of the other boys, they've been practicing this style without me in their free time. They really like it, and so they've taken it upon themselves to learn it. And so for the round dance, Lavender had asked me to teach the boys this song. So it was really out of my expertise, so I had to learn. And I'm still learning, so it's just like something brand new to me, this style. And the little resonating sound you can hear, use your fingernail at the same time. So. And then the other style that normally we sing is the Ojibwe style, what they call a woman song, or a Kwe Nagamonan, or Nagamon. And there's a lot of songs that we sing, and I've sung those songs ever since I could remember. Like, the first memory I have of a drum, I was sitting by my grandpa, and they had a ceremonial drum outside. I wasn't allowed to drum, but I was encouraged to stand next to my grandpa while he was drumming. So I could stand there, but I wasn't allowed to drum. And we were allowed to drum when, I want to say that I was 9 or 10 years old. I would always hear those songs, a lot of the older singers, old-timers, my grandpa and Mark Kingbird, Johnson Kingbird, Pete Gobble down in Mille Lacs, Tom Benjamin from East Lake, Skip Churchill, and a lot of these older guys that I kind of grew up listening to. The main job is Ojibwe language instructor and Ojibwe drum instructor is what. But I also do a lot of cultural activities or seasonal activities. We've done some hide scraping where we prepare the hides. So the big drum that we have here, we actually got it donated by Mr. Hermel, who had a cow, and his cow had to get slaughtered, and he asked me if we could use the hide, and like, sure, why not? So we ended up scraping that, and it turned out to be a lot tougher than deer hides, so I got more work than I bargained for. But the boys in all my classes, in all my Ojibwe classes, we all took some time, and we scraped it last year, and we stretched it out, and we cut it out, and we made a drum. So the art teacher, Mr. Z, and Lavender Hunt, or Lavender Kingbird, she is our cultural arts teacher. The cowhide is on the drum, and the emblem is actually rusted in. So we got, I have this idea because of making drums when I was young. I used me and my brothers, we used a 20-pound dumbbell to hold the hide down, because the hide will float in a tub of water. So we used the dumbbell to put the hide down so it would be fully submerged and fully soaked, and it would be pliable, and that's what you want, a wet hide. And the next day when we pulled the weight out, there was a backwards 20, so it looked like an O and a backwards 2, and it was stuck on there, and it's still on that hide today. So I was like, well, I took that thought and that idea, well, what if we made it into a design? And so we had I can't remember the gentleman's name. He's around here, and he took the Warriors emblem and he plasma cut it with his plasma cutting machine, and that's the emblem that you see on the drum. It's the W with the spear through it. And we put it on both sides of our drum, so you can see. So when we go places, that's kind of our signature our drum, and our boys are very proud of that. You know, we're really proud to represent our school. And if you look at the artwork on the side, this was all designed by Lavender and Mr. Z and some of the art students. They all painted it, designed all of these plants. You got the cedar plant and these beautiful flowers. And so we've made our own. And thin the height is and the thickness, so you've got this on. And then it'll even sound even more different when it's sitting on its stand. Mm-hmm. And the stand is designed to keep the most of the drum suspended, so you hear that resonating buzzing, that resonating sound. Beautiful sound. Yeah. And then we have our other drummer. We have an old bass drum that we kind of pieced together from other drums. This is an old style type of drum that they used to have. So a lot of the Plains tribes would capture these drums because when they were fighting against the cavalry, so it was like a prize when they captured something from the enemy. So this drum is a really sought-after style of drum that they have for a lot of the tribes out west. And so they've got all of these hand drums. You know, they've just got all kinds of drums here, which is awesome. This is a buffalo hide, and you'll notice it's got a different sound. So it's got a beautiful sound. This one here is a cowhide. And then I think we have a horsehide. So this is the horsehide. They all got their own unique sounds, and when you got a whole group of boys singing, you'll have different types of voices, but when they all sing together, it sounds really good. So we have a good time in here. This is our laboratory. So we're in here, keep the doors closed, and we sing for a second. I got a second hour class, so we sing like the whole time. And then we sing seventh hour too. So at the beginning of the day and the end of the day, I get my fix for the day. And singing is just like something I love to do. And these boys, they're really, really talented, and they really kind of keep me going and make my day just like, so I'm very fortunate to be here.
McGwich to Andy Jackson, Deer River High School Indian Education. Before I left their drumming lab, he sang me this song with apologies, he said, in case he got some of the words wrong.
Oh,
Andy Jackson singing and drumming in Deer River. We continue our journey of the drum now with Robin Anders and the Dabuki Kings with this cut called Corinthian Slap.
Thank you.
That was Robin Anders on percussion with the Darbuki Kings. On that one CD alone, he plays the Arabic and the Indian tabla, Moroccan bongos and drum kit, Mujar, Daluk, and a dozen other percussions I've never even heard of. You might have seen Robin perform when he kept the wild beats of Boiled in Lead, the popular Twin Cities-based Celtic rock band. Robin does every kind of drumming there is. You can read more about him at robinanders.net. He has studied for years with Sufi master Adnan Sarhan, and he practices drumming as a spiritual and healing art. Robin's been part of and led circle drumming all over the world for many kinds of ceremonies and for the power of what he calls transcendent entrainment, everybody in it together, on the same holy wave. Robin lives off the grid, up near the Boundary Waters, and travels this way now and then to do drum circles. I got in on one of them last winter solstice, about 15 or 20 people, each one of us bringing along our favorite drum. Mine was made in Taos, New Mexico, or playing one of the many beautiful drums that Robin brought with him. We gathered in the Loggy Dome, which sponsored the event. The dome is a magnificent structure, a loft overlooking a beautiful lake. In the winter, the lake itself is a drum, and the loft, too, an inverted drum. Skylight looking up to the moon, and a tree coming up through the middle of the floor up to the ceiling, handcrafted wood mosaics and patterns on the many angled surfaces, and the floor resonating with the beat of the drums, and your mind empty of anything but the beat, your whole body, all the bodies in the room, the whole room inside the beat, the power of percussion, transcendent entrainment. And it's fun, besides. Here's Robin Anders.
I was in the Yucatan. I was there for around 10 years. And at one point, the mayor of Akumal, his girlfriend, worked in the government department there. We became friends and stuff. And one day she said, look, I've been applying to the National Archaeological Institute to see if I could get permission to go into this fairly recently discovered site on the border of Guatemala. The archaeologists have been in there digging the buildings and the pyramids out of the jungle. And she said, I just got word that they're all going to be going home for a couple of months. There's a break in there, and we have permission to go in there. And so, wow. So, you know, I loaded up a few drums, and we drove down there. Kalakmul. And as it turns out, it was the rival to Chichen Itza for the two greatest Mayan cities. It turns out that it's actually bigger than Chichen Itza. When they did the LIDAR from the satellites to see the extent of what was there, and it's probably it turned out to be maybe the biggest Mayan site ever. Anyway, we got in there and we had the whole place to ourselves, and so we climbed the main pyramid, and I had my drum. It was phenomenal because on top of the pyramid you had the forest canopy stretching as far as the eye could see in every direction, and of course I'm always checking out for the sound, and I clapped, and you could tell the sound was being carried across the top of the canopies. And I thought, they had to have been communicating with drums and percussion this way. I mean, they had to have been, because, I mean, I could tell when I then got into the drum, I could tell that the sound was carrying for miles. You could tell. I mean, you could hear it go. It would just go and go and go. So we got to spend the whole night up on that pyramid. And it wasn't until later that I found out the history of the place. And a very special little trance drumming session with her dancing on top of the pyramid and the full moon. And it was like, oh my God. Through a Sufi associate of mine, I was introduced when I went to Tokyo to promote my Ryko disc release. He introduced me to the top belly dancer and teacher in all of Tokyo and Osaka. And she was really so thrilled to have an actual Middle Eastern percussionist there to work with. And so I spent 4 summers there, and just playing like 60, 70 gigs in like was like, we were, you know, the Japanese are nonstop. But at any rate, one of the places we wound up was at this beautiful sort of a park, an outdoor theater up in the mountains, the Japanese Alps. And it was just a little town there, but they had a really beautiful big stage and back area. And I went backstage to, you know, talk to the sound man and get set up. And there was this huge room, and it was completely full of those, of the giant taiko, the big Japanese ceremonial drums. And up to one of them was literally 6 feet by 9 feet. Pretty soon the guys from the village started showing up, and you know, we were talking a little bit, and my Japanese wasn't too good, but they all speak English. They said that this is a special festival, a traditional festival just for the town. And the only day that they take the drums out and play them is this one day every year. Otherwise, they sit in the garage all the time. But anyways, they got all those out, and they said, "Well, you gotta come and play with us." I did my show with the belly dancers, and then they wanted me to play with them. But you know, I mean, it was just overwhelming because there was like 30 of them. And, you know, they had really loud and a lot of big drums and stuff. And I just had the one hand drum, and they gave me a microphone. And so I stood right next to the guy who was playing the 9-foot drum with a baseball bat. And then I was about the same volume as he was. It was a phenomenal thing. They had live artists doing calligraphy while the drumming was going on these huge pallets, these huge canvases all around the stage. And they had I guess you'd call them torches. So at one point, they lit the whole area up with these incredible torches. And to see an American that understood and could do what they were doing, and you know, that's what I found everywhere in the world I've traveled, is the people are incredibly flattered if you know their music. I mean, for instance, when I was in Morocco, I was invited to do the World Sacred Music Festival because I had a CD called The Blue Buddha that's Sufi trance drumming, which is what we're doing here tonight. And I learned from a Sufi master of 9 orders, my teacher Adnan Saran. And they got wind of that on the internet, and they just wrote me out of nowhere. This was a gathering of the top Sufi drummers from all around the world, musicians from everywhere in the world. I mean, it was a phenomenal thing, and attended by something like over 100,000 people. Incredible, the most unbelievable musicians I've ever encountered in my life, because all they do is pray and play their instrument. That's all they do every day. That's their whole life. There's a universal thread of rhythm. It gets a little more complex when you're dealing with tuned musical instruments. But if you go down to the basics of all music, you find the basic heartbeat, the rhythm. And there is one beat in particular that I found in every culture in the world. The simplest form is, now let me give you a few examples, is a polka, right? And so now that leads you to realize, after you've been studying these world musics, almost every culture you can think of, certainly all the European ones and some Asian ones, they have polkas, more or less. Or they have this same beat. And this is the Arabs, the Bulgarians, the Serbians, and of course in Yoruba, and you get down in West Africa, and when that culture and that music reached the New World and landed on Cuba, they reversed it. They start on the high pitch and go to the low pitch, but it's still the same rhythm. And you'll find this simple rhythm like everywhere in the world. Every culture has that rhythm. So I'm almost thinking that's kind of one of the universal. Of course, when they're using it in classical Egyptian pieces, you know, it becomes...
Thanks to Robin Anders and the Darbuki Kings taking us out for this hour of The Drum Thing. Thanks also to Andy Jackson and Deb Fredrickson and Jay Epstein for helping us keep the beat on Stay Human. Now's the time.